Open your Bibles with me this morning to the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39, we'll be reading verses 6 through 19 in just a moment. Actually, we're going to pick up about halfway through verse 6. As we continue on through this series, through the latter part of the book of Genesis, we're now into the life of Joseph. And the last time we met a couple of weeks ago on this subject, he had been sold into slavery by his loving brothers. And he had been taken by the slave traders to Egypt. And he had been sold, as it happened, he was sold to a man named Potiphar, who was a high official in Pharaoh's service. And as a servant in his house, Joseph rapidly rose through the ranks. God blessed him in his slavery. He blessed him while he was there as a servant in this household. And everything he touched worked. And very quickly, Potiphar recognized his talent and his ability. And so he put him in charge of his entire household. He was the number one slave, which is better than being the number five slave. And so as this was happening, this is where we're going to pick up the narrative in just a moment. He had tremendous responsibility, and this is going to be enunciated by Joseph in the passage we're going to read in just a moment. But as Joseph was finding himself in as good a position as he could possibly be in, given the circumstance he was a slave, he was a Hebrew slave in Egypt, and this was before that became popular, by the way, as he was there, his integrity became challenged. And really the lesson from this point in history, from this section of the life of Joseph, is how essential our integrity is. We have seen a lot of examples. We've seen faith. We have seen courage. We have seen all sorts of things transpire from these patriarchs of Israel as they have come to know God, as they have trusted Him. Sometimes we've seen some lapses in their character, and we've seen their humanity pour out. But then we've seen them restored, and we see God continuing to work. And what we see throughout the entire life of Joseph, as it now is unfolding, and he is still a very young man, but as we see God's activity in his life unfolding, we see him, because we know the whole story, God directing things in a particular direction of which Joseph could not anticipate. But here he is at this point, a young man, probably in his early 20s, and he is in the household of Potiphar. He is a man of tremendous authority, as much authority as he could possibly have within this household. But then we see his integrity challenged. And the lesson for us to learn here is just how vital our integrity is. And if there is anything that our world could use, if there is anything that we could contribute to our culture that would make it better, that would make it more godlike, that would make it more exemplary of Christ living through us and in us, is to have faithfulness in our integrity, to guard our integrity. Because what we're going to see as this unfolds is that when we as believers in Christ, we who bear the name of Christ, if we do not guard and keep and maintain our integrity at all cost, we don't really keep and maintain much of anything that we can extend into our culture. Everything we say, everything we do as Christians depends, or the veracity of it and the impression that it will leave on those around us, whether they're family members or co-workers or classmates or acquaintances, is our integrity. For a Christian without integrity is a Christian without witness and is a Christian without authority. And we have to see the value of this integrity, because our integrity will be challenged. Let's see what happens when Joseph is challenged as this unfolds. He is in Potiphar's household, and And in that situation, his integrity becomes challenged. Let's read this now in Genesis 39, beginning in verse 6. We're going to pick up in the middle of verse 6. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, "Sleep with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house. He has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such a great evil and sin against God?" Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Now one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." But leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called the household servants. "Look," she said to them, "my husband brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so that he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could. And when he heard me screaming for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside." And so she put Joseph's garment beside her until his master came home. And then she told him the same story. "The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make a fool of me. But when I screamed for help, he left his garment with me and ran outside." And when his master heard this story, his wife told him, these are the things your slave did to me. He was furious and had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. Now, reading that on the surface and reading that last line, you may think guarding our integrity may not be all that important. But let's take a moment and let's look at all of these events. First of all, we see, and we can see in the reality, that temptation challenges integrity. That is the nature of those two things. Man is given, humanity is given integrity by God, and then temptation comes to us, and it challenges that integrity. Look at verse 7. "And after some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, 'Sleep with me.'" Now here's the temptation. Here he is. Potiphar, he's a busy man. He's gone a lot. He's out running around doing the duties that he has in relationship to Pharaoh and the government. So he's not around much. He's out and about. Here is this young, handsome, well-built young man. Here is the mistress of the house, and I guess that may not be the best term. But here she is in the house. She sees him. She longs for him. She recognizes his physical appearance. It appeals to her. In their culture, they don't necessarily have a strong moral background that we in the Judeo-Christian ethic would teach our ongoing children. So she looks around, and he is her slave. And so she says, "Since he is my slave, and I really like the way he looks, and my husband's not around, I am going to take advantage of this situation. This is what I am going to do." And so she tempts him. She invites him to enter into an illicit, immoral relationship with her. And it would have been perfectly natural, perfectly normal for him to have acquiesced to her invitation. For one thing, it is tempting, personally, physically, tempting such an offer is made. And the other thing, she is his boss. She has power. She has authority. She can make life difficult for him, which she later does, if he does not give in to her requests. So he is tempted on any number of levels. But what we have to understand is that this temptation is not just a physical invitation, it is also a spiritual and emotional temptation. He is tempted to violate everything he had ever been taught. He is being tempted to violate the responsibilities he has toward his owner, his master, his boss, Potiphar. He is tempted, and even greater than that, he is tempted to violate the teachings that were against his God. That God had said, this is the wrong thing to do. Now, the Ten Commandments had not yet been received, but the moral teachings predated Moses' Ten Commandments. And this was wrong. And so his integrity was being challenged at every level. Now, understand that is the nature of temptation. You have never been tempted to sin against God, and you really can't sin any other way, by the way. You have never been tempted when it was not a challenge to your integrity. All temptation is that. And actually, temptation, even to the non-believing world, to the non-Christian world, is a challenge to personal integrity. Everybody, part of human nature, is we know what is right and we know what is wrong. And we have these truths built within us. It is not something that is environmental. It is not something that is just taught to us. But morality for the human being, because we are created in the image of God, morality is a part of our nature. But sin corrupts that. Temptation comes and dangles its enticements before us. And every time, and it doesn't matter if the temptation is of a sexual nature like this one, or if it is of a monetary nature and we're being greedy, or if it's of a power nature and we're wanting authority, it does not matter what form the temptation takes. It is a challenge to our integrity. People are born with integrity, but temptation challenges that. Adam and Eve were given integrity in the garden. They violated the directives of God. They beheld the forbidden fruit. They were tempted by the forbidden fruit. They partook of the forbidden fruit, and their integrity was shattered, and their relationship with God was shattered. You and I were born with integrity, but somewhere along the line, as children, adolescents perhaps, somewhere along the line, it's different for each of us, we were tempted. And we were tempted to be disobedient to our parents. Or we were tempted to be mean to our siblings. And I'm going to confess that as I look back on that, I'm not sure all of that was sin. But that's a whole other discussion. I was the youngest. It was defense. But the reality of the matter is we were tempted. Our integrity was challenged. That image of God in which we were created was challenged. And we knew what was right. And we knew what was wrong. And when we got caught by our parents doing whatever we did wrong, that original sin for each of us, we lied about it. I didn't know that was wrong. I mean, we lied about it. So we did another one. And we continued to separate ourselves from God. And as that was happening, our integrity was shattered time and time again. It was removed from us. That's what temptation does. That is what sin does. That is the nature of that reality. And here is Joseph, and his integrity is being challenged. And he is standing there before God, and he is being tempted in the most tremendous of ways and horrific of ways. And he is standing there, and he's making this decision within him. Do I or don't I? I know I shouldn't, but it would be smarter if I did. And it wouldn't be terribly unpleasant if I did. And all these things are tearing within him. And that is what temptation does. It challenges our integrity. Also, we see here that integrity will dictate how we respond to our temptation. Look at what he says. Now, he makes a rather lengthy discourse to her. And then in verse 9, he is speaking again to Potiphar's wife, resisting the temptation, and he says, no one in this house is greater than I. He, Potiphar, has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do such great evil and sin against God? You hear, he has predetermined. He has made his decision of what he is going to do prior to the temptation. He understands his role in this household. He understands his responsibility to Potiphar. He understands the situation in fullness. But more importantly, you notice that last line, how could I do such great evil and sin against God? And while he had laid out a strong case for why he should be faithful to Potiphar, his really baseline is, God has told me this is wrong. You see, and Joseph's concept of integrity is based upon his relationship with God. And Joseph has had some time to think about it. He was laying in a pit that his brothers had thrown him into, and he got to think about life. He was in a caravan, sold into slavery, traveling along with those Midianites down to, from Canaan to Egypt. And he had time to think about it. He spent some time in Egyptian bondage coming into Potiphar's household, and he had time to think about it. And somewhere along, as this adolescent boy became a man, he began to understand his relationship with God. And he developed his integrity. From the very early age of his childhood in his father's household, he comes along and his integrity is developed and it grows and it is strengthened. And he goes through some very difficult situations, some times in which he is terrified. He does not know where he is going to be taken. He does not know in what kind of slave situation he is going to have. He could have ended up in the salt mines. But now he comes and he is in a good situation. And he understands that he is there by the hand of God. And he understands that even in his difficulties and in the unfairness of life, he is still being blessed by God. And he has determined in all of this time, and his integrity has developed all this time, and he has determined within his heart that whenever the great temptation to rebel against God comes before him, I am going to stand with God, and that is the price I will pay. That's what I'm going to do. He has predetermined that. And then along comes this powerful woman, tempts him in the most hideous of ways. And he looks at her and he goes through all of the temptation processes that all of us go through. But yet he has already determined what his decision is going to be. And he doesn't have to make a list. The do's and the good points and the bad points. What would happen if I did this? And then I'll list all the good things. What would happen if I do this and list all the bad things? Nope. There's only one thing that matters. How could I commit such a sin against my God? That's all that mattered. He had already determined that. And he looks at it and he perceives it, and his integrity determines his response to temptation. I can tell you how to overcome temptation. I can tell me how to overcome temptation. How good am I in it? That's none of your business. But the reality is we stand before God. We live through times of temptation. Even as Christians, we live through times of temptation. But the question is, where is our integrity? If we have spent the early days of our Christian growth, the early days of our faith, developing our integrity, making decisions, determining, and seeing how gracious God is to us and how much He loves us. And if we look at the price our Savior paid for us when He hung upon a cross, when they broke His body and He shed His blood and He paid that price. And if we see the power that God exhibited to restore our relationship with Him when we broke our integrity at the early points of temptation in our life, and how God wants to restore that. And God wants to make us whole again. And develop a relationship with us through the resurrection of His Son. And to restore the integrity that only Christ can bring. And only the indwelling Holy Spirit can manifest in our lives. And if we want to see these things, then we will predetermine how we will respond to temptation. We know when we're being tempted. We recognize temptation. Now, don't misunderstand me. The temptation and sin are two separate things. One leads to the other, but temptation and sin are not the same thing. But when the temptation arises, is our integrity strong enough to have predetermined what our response is going to be? When we're tempted by that attractive person of the opposite sex, have we predetermined what our response to that is going to be? When we are tempted to behave in a greedy way and to receive financial gain by inappropriate manner, have we predetermined how we're going to respond to that? When we are tempted to push someone else down so we can rise up, have we predetermined how we're going to respond to that? If we have not predetermined how we're going to respond to the temptations that will come and will challenge our integrities as Christians, then we are going to fall. And we're going to struggle. And it's not that God won't love us. It is not that there is not redemption and grace and mercy beyond our failures. But there is pain in the failure. There is suffering in the failure. But there is glory in the victory. Here we see Joseph rising to as glorious a point as he ever is in his life from a spiritual perspective. And his integrity has predetermined his response to a very difficult situation. And he stands and he shines the brightest he has ever shone to this point in his life, when he says, I will not sin against my God. That's integrity. And that will overcome the temptations that will come. And then we also see that there are many times when integrity comes with a price. Look at verses 19 and 20. And when his master heard the story his wife told him, these are the things your slave did to me, he was furious and had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was in prison. Well, we read that line and we go, what does integrity do for him? It got him thrown into prison. Let me submit something to you. Joseph was far better off with his integrity intact in prison than he would have been in Potiphar's household without integrity. Why? Sooner or later, his wife would have ratted him out. Sooner or later, another one of the servants would have whispered in Potiphar's ear what was going on. And if you think Potiphar was mad because of the lie that was told to him, you think he was mad because of that, think what it would have been had Potiphar found out of an unfaithfulness with his servant, with his wife. It wouldn't have been his wife's fault. It would have been the servant. And the result, the physical result would have been much worse, potentially was much worse. However, we see, because we know we know what happens in God's plan over the next many years. But the reality is, we are far better off with our integrity intact in a more difficult physical situation than we are with our integrity in shatters and having achieved what we thought we wanted. We are better off with, a person is better off in poverty with integrity than in wealth without integrity. The dishonest rich man is not well viewed and does not have joy in life. The poor man who has integrity lives in abundance. Understand that truth. The most popular kid in school who achieved his popularity by bullying or by some other means, he may look like he's happy and full, but if his integrity has been shattered, no one respects him. The one who has their integrity intact, though they may not be popular, that person is the person who's living in abundance. And so it is in life. While our integrity may keep us from attaining some of the physical goals that the world says are so valuable and so important and so popular, to receive those things without integrity takes away the abundance that we think those things will bring us. Whereas rejecting those things and living with our integrity brings us into the abundant life of which Jesus speaks. It just works that way. Now, that's not to say that some of those things, wealth, popularity, power, when they are attained in the proper way, that those things are bad within themselves. They're not. It is how do we get them? That's the question. Do we have to give up our integrity? The price is too high to pay. I have had people tell me that their integrity has cost them too much. But I submit to you, they are in error. Integrity is the most valuable thing we have as Christians that comes with our salvation and our relationship with Christ. It gives us authority for our witness. It gives us peace that passes understanding. You want to sleep well at night? Have integrity in your heart. You want to enjoy what you have? Have integrity in your heart. Jesus Christ died to restore the integrity that we will have in relationship with a God that is the epitome, that is the apex of integrity. He restores us with Him, and then He invests His Holy Spirit in our lives that lets us walk through life with the footsteps of integrity. Here we see Joseph. At the end of this episode in his life, he is in prison. Quick preview, he doesn't stay there. Other things happen. That takes a while, and we're going to talk about those in the next few weeks. But the reality is, God's plan is unfolding. And right now, it is God's plan for Joseph to be in prison. His integrity took him there. But even in prison, he is still living in the abundance that God has for him. Read the next chapter. See what God is doing. And He has another chapter in your life, and He has a chapter in my life. Now the question is, how are we going to maintain our integrity? How are we going to guard our integrity? It is the most vital thing that we have that enables us to share the truth of the gospel and to live in the abundance and to live in peace. Today's invitation is for us to commit ourselves to being people of integrity. And if our integrity is in tatters at this point, we have a God who will repair them and will repair them quickly. But we have to see and understand that it is the integrity that He gives us that we must guard and protect. I invite you today on the Word of God to come and receive that and to live with it.